Hare Krishna. So this is the third of the four verses I was going to read. And here in Rupa Goswami is describing Krishna. Madhavya Madhuranga Kanana Kada Praptadhirja Shriya Vrindaranya Vikashu Shauravatate Tapichita Kalpadruma Notapam Jagareva Yasya Bhajati Kirti Chatta Chayaya Chitra Tasya Tavangri Shanidhi Yusham Kimbo Palaptir Ninam. So the Acharya says, O handsome, fragrant, tamal, desire tree, blooming in Vrindavan forest, and embraced by the Madhavi vine of the goddess ruling this forest. O tree, the shade of whose glory protects the world from a host of burning sufferings, what wonderful fruits do the people find at your lotus feet. Really exquisite, very beautiful translation, and very beautiful verse. Here, Krishna is described as a handsome, fragrant tamal tree. Tamal trees are very rare. In Vrindavan, we try to grow tamal tree in our house, or rather Govinda Maharaj did. And unfortunately, we didn't have very much success because of monkeys, but it also had to do with the climate. Young tamal trees are very delicate until at least they become somewhat stronger. So it didn't survive. Neither did the kadamba tree that we planted beside it. Kadamba trees, though, are somewhat hardier, but neither of them do well with monkeys when they're little shoots. So, the specific feature of a tamal tree is the color of its bark. Its leaves are longish, similar to neem leaves, but the trees are different. Tamal trees are much smaller. Neem trees are enormous big trees, like mango trees. And of course, Krishna is called Tamal Krishna because color of his complexion is blackish like that. It's a very, very, very attractive color, and very fragrant. No, tamal trees aren't necessarily so fragrant, unless they happen to be in bloom. But this tamal tree is always fragrant, and that's because Priti Ganda, Krishna is the source of all fragrance. All the fragrances that we find in the earth, that we find in flowers, ultimately, it's all coming from Krishna. And if you mix all those together, then it will take on the scent of Chatushama, which use the word heady. It's a very heady fragrance, very similar to musk, because one of the four Chatur means four. It has four main ingredients. Musk. We have camphor, sandalwood, and agar. And oud. Those four combined together in a certain proportion. They're the fragrance of Krishna's transcendental body. So Rupa Goswami says he's a not just an ordinary tamal tree, but a tamal desire tree. Of course, in Vrindavan, all trees are desire trees, but this is as obvious from the description as a special desire tree. And he's blooming. But he's blooming all year round. It doesn't just bloom in season. Krishna's blooming all year round. Trees are most beautiful when they're blooming. This tree blooms with the flowers of transcendental ecstasies, astasattvika vichar, so many 33 transitory ecstasies, and so they're all constantly blooming with ever newer, ever fresher ecstatic symptoms that arise as a consequence of love, loving exchanges between him and his devotees. And this is only taking place in Vrindavan Forest, as hard as it seems to understand, but it can't take place anywhere else. Krishna cannot experience these type of extraordinary symptoms and ecstasies in other place other than Vrindavan. That's a special feature of Vrindavan. Everywhere else, these ecstasies are somewhat stunted or diluted by certain degrees of awe and reverence. And how is it possible for this tamal tree to be experiencing these ecstatic symptoms? Because she's embraced by the Madhavi vine of the goddess ruling this fortune. So the goddess ruling that fortune is Srimati Radharani. And trees, where were we? We were somewhere, and we were walking somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And the trees, there were vines growing up the trees. So it's a customary thing. Vines are very they're fragile, subtle, but they want to grow. They want to grow up. But they can't grow unless they take shelter of something that's much stronger than they, that's much more solid. So trees are those things that vines can grow up on. And so they take shelter of the strength of the trees. And, of course, in that way they also lend their flowers and fragrance. And sometimes it becomes confusing. You can't really quite tell which is the flower and leaves of the tree and which belong to the vine, because they're so intertwined. They look like one. So Krishna experiences these bloom. He's blooming because he's being embraced by the Madhavi vine of the goddess ruling this forest. Madhavi is also a name for Srimati Radharani. And then as a result, or simultaneously with all of these wonderful transcendental exchanges taking place, then he says that Krishna is also protecting the world from a host of burning sufferings. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. The only way to become free from suffering in the material world is to become absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, to hear Krishna's pastimes. And when people don't, then there's no hope. They can do austerities, they can stand on their head, they can fast until they drop dead. They can do so many things, but it won't have its effect. But tavata kamitam tapta jivanam. And that's why Krishna appears. That's why he manifests his pastimes. So that when people hear of those pastimes, then they get shade. Sun is very, very hot, especially in the summertime. So where does one go to get shade from the sun? One goes to the trees, in the shade of the trees. So this tree, this tamal tree, it shades the whole world from all the sufferings of material existence by his wonderful transcendental pastimes in here, especially those pastimes where Krishna is exchanging with the gopis and Srimati Radharani, as it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then amongst those people who are in this material world, there are devotees. And the devotees, they don't stay in the shade, or at least they're in the shade, but they're not just there for the shade. They want to collect the fruits, and they want to come close to the root of the tree. Because at the root of the tree, it says, what wonderful fruits do the people find at your lotus feet? So over and beyond becoming free from material entanglement, which is all right, but ultimately that doesn't bring transcendental happiness either. It just places one in some neutral condition. But real liberation, vimukta sangha, real liberation comes from being able to enter, participate in this pastime of wherein Krishna and his eternal associates are relishing loving transcendental exchanges. And that prerogative takes place only by the grace of Srimati Radharani, only by her sponsorship and recommendation can one actually enter into Krishna's pastimes. But when one does, then one will find so many wonderful fruits. Actually, the fruit of sadhana bhakti is one of those wonderful fruits. And there's the fruit of bhava bhakti and the fruit of prema bhakti and the different relationships of ecstatic love. Those things one can find all by the grace of Krishna. And it's for that reason. Paritanaya sadhunam. That's what paritanaya sadhunam is about. As Prabhupada says, killing demons that the material energy can do, establishing religious principles that Lord Vishnu can do, but offering these fruits of transcendental bliss, that only Krishna does. No one else can do that. So once again, O handsome, fragrant tamal desire tree, blooming in Vrindavan forest and embraced by the Madhavi vine of the goddess ruling this forest, O tree, the shade of whose glory protects the world from a host of burning sufferings, what wonderful fruits do the people find at your lotus feet? Hare Krishna.